There's an old baseball saying, you can't tell the players without a scorecard. That phrase could be applied to the 2014 Arkansas political races. Since last year, candidates have launched campaigns for office, then changed those plans, then changed them again. Last week, Congressman Tim Griffin announced he was entering the race for lieutenant governor. A fellow Republican, Charlie Collins, then announced he was leaving the lieutenant governor's race to run for re-election to the state legislature. Then Deborah Hobbs announced she was entering the lieutenant governor's race and leaving the race for governor. And that's just a sampling of the political switches in the last few months. This week, Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas, talked to GOP political consultant Clint Reed and left-leaning blogger Michael Cook about these changes.
Do we have a battle now with Tim Griffin, the presumed nominee at this juncture, versus John Burkhalter, the Democratic nominee?
This will be, I've never thought I would say the phrase, an epic lieutenant governor's race. I think that's probably the first time in Arkansas history, because for the first time you have both the Democrat and the Republican who are going to have plenty of money and will have, you know, stories to tell on why they want to be elected to lieutenant governor's race. I wrote a column this week for Talk Business where I talked about Tim Griffin entering this race is a earthquake. I mean, he shakes up everything. One Republican dropped out of the primary already. Griffin does have some advantages. He has name recognition. He has fundraising ability. But he also has disadvantages. I mean, he's from the most dysfunctional and disliked institution in the country, which is the U.S. Congress. And Burkhalter will be able to tie Congressman Tim Griffin to those problems in D.C. So it's going to be, I thought Burkhalter was heavily favored before. Now this race is now a complete toss-up.
A complete toss-up. What do you think about Griffin getting in the race? I mean, how did that kind of run through Republican circles, Clint?
Well, I think it changes the dynamic of the race for sure. I mean, I agree. Burkhalter was probably a favorite to win that seat, especially at this point in the campaign. But it changes what we're talking about with the lieutenant governor's office, all the stuff that we've dealt with in the previous administration. Look, Tim represents the 2nd Congressional District. He's been doing TV ads in this district, the Little Rock media market, which makes up about 52% of the state. He's the clear front runner. He'll raise a lot of money. If anybody knows anything about Tim Griffin, he is a tenacious campaigner. He will be able to articulate a message. He lifts everybody up on the ticket. He's going to be tough to beat.
Do we see perhaps a Tim Griffin, Asa Hutchinson ticket like we've seen with Burkhalter and Mike Ross? I'm assuming that Asa is going to give the nomination and Griffin's going to give the nomination. It'd be fair that there's other candidates there.
I believe from what I've heard is I think that Republicans talked Tim Griffin into running for this race because they needed help for Asa Hutchinson. It's not a crazy scenario. You have more Republicans turning out in the 2nd District isn't going to naturally help out Asa because the other two candidates or three candidates were just not cutting it. So, Griffin in this race, it messes up everything for a lot of people.
For Democrats. Exactly.
I'm not sure Arkansas voters like the idea of a ticket. Mm-hmm. And so, look, Asa's got to tell his story. And I think we're in the early stages of doing that. Griffin will tell his story. Obviously, Congressman Cotton's going to tell his story. I think for the most part, voters are going to look at each one of those individually and say, do they represent our values? And so it's going to be very important, I believe, for all three of those at the top of the ticket to go sell their own individual campaigns, because I think voters will judge them very independently of each other.
Question wide open for both of you. It also kind of gives some pretty strong political candidates in Tim Griffin and John Burkhalter the ability to be attack dogs in that governor's race, so that Asa might be able to elevate a little bit more, Mike Ross might be able to elevate a little bit more. Now you got some pretty strong political candidates with muscle that can come in and really kind of be like what we've seen in vice presidents in presidential elections.
Yeah,
buying into that?
I don't see it that way. I think at the end of the day, both Burkhalter and Griffin are going to have, they're going to focus on their own races, and they're going to have to define themselves, and they're going to have to define their opponent. I think both of these guys are going to have their hands full, and they won't have time to really wade into the governor's race unless there are some issues that are naturally, flowing into
right.
Lieutenant governor's race, like the private option. Where do these two gentlemen stand? Those are some things that may flow into it. But these two gentlemen, they've got to fight their own fight.
And I think the attack dogs these days have become the third party groups. We see the RGA.
Are there some third party groups?
The RGA, Americans for Prosperity, all of those organizations that I think will do the heavy lifting. And I don't necessarily see the LG's race becoming attack dogs for the gubernatorial race. I just don't buy. I don't buy into that.
Well, yeah. It's a great segue into our next topic, and that is we have seen the ad wars heat up a little bit this week. We saw Mike Ross go up in the month of January with a good little bio spot there, an endorsement from Governor Mike Beebe. Probably boosted his numbers a little bit. You both probably seen some internal polling that shows that it was, you know, fairly effective in that respect. Didn't move the needle much, but it moved it. Now you've got the Republican Governors Association coming in and throwing down on Mike Ross with their ad. I'll start with you, Clint. I mean, well, why do you think the RGA made this move now? Was it because they saw Mike Ross's numbers moving?
I suspect that they don't want any, you know, any good operative. Michael will tell you, you don't want to let the candidate define themselves too early. And so I think the RGA wants to be out there, be in the mix early. Look, they see this race as a very winnable race. There's no doubt about that. And so they're going to invest resources to make sure that that ASA wins this race. And so, you know, you're just seeing that as a byproduct of their strategy. I expect to see them on TV throughout.
Tying Mike Ross to Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama.
The Republican Governors Association had to step in. Friday of last week, a poll came out that showed Mike Ross leading for the first time in the governor's race. Monday morning, we hear that that Governors Association is buying time to attack Mike Ross. So the National Governors Association for the Republicans know that their nominee is in trouble. He's not raising any money. Mike Ross has almost about $2 million more cash on hand. He's rising in the polls, so they have to step in and prop him up. Otherwise, it can be too far gone.
Asa Hutchinson doesn't have any money. He's got money. He's got cash on hand.
A pitiful 1.6, but compared to 3.6 for Mike Ross, Mark Ross.
In the Brock checking account, 1.3 still or 1.6
right, exactly.
is still pretty good. So, well, I mean, so how does the money play out? You think it's going to be equal enough with the third-party expenditures layered on top of what the candidates raise that it's going to be an even playing field?
Make no mistake, money still matters. And money to individual candidates, it matters tremendously. You know, with the advent of all of these outside groups, I think both sides will spend money at parity. Look, these races, the LG's race, the governor's race, the Senate race, these are close races. It's a byproduct of a healthy two-party system. We'll see that throughout. If you look at the independent numbers in all three of those races, it favors Republicans. It's a byproduct of Barack Obama and his presidency. I just don't see that changing over the next 9 months. I think it's advantage Republicans all the way to the end.
I disagree totally. on state issues, federal issues, I will say Barack Obama becomes a factor in some of these federal races. State issues, our candidates, we like to make up our own minds. We'll look at both all these candidates, and that's how we determine who, regardless who the president is.
Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas, talked to blogger Michael Cook and political consultant Clint Reed last week. You can find more at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T. Encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. Their mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulations, and rules. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.